Hey everyone, welcome to this week's episode of Romance in Color. It's just me here, Tati Richardson, your resident romance writer and reader. Yakini and I are taking some much needed time off to do some celebrating of our 45th birthday. Mine was last week, the 28th. Yakini's is this week, April 4th. And so I wanted to just take some time off for the both of us so we can really enjoy and be with our families and friends and reflect on our 45 years of being on this earth. We can't believe we're 45. We still look good, okay? But in the meantime, we have a great interview here with author Brianna Michelle. Brianna is a debut romance author with her book Finding My Way Out of Darkness. She pens it as Criminal Minds meets Romance. She's a Philly girl who was a former dancer, social activist, mental health advocate, turned romance author. And I hope you all sit back and enjoy this interview with her. And we find out more about her, her creative process, and why she wanted to delve into the Romancelandia landscape. So you all sit back, relax, and enjoy this interview with Brianna Michelle. Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Romance in Color. I'm so excited to be here with author Brianna Michelle. Brianna, how are you, girl?
Hi, I'm doing so good today. How are you?
I'm great. I'm so glad you could join us here at Romance in Color.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So I'm going to ask you the question that I ask everybody when they come on the podcast, which is, when did you fall in love with romance? And do you remember the very first romance book that you ever read?
The first romance book I ever read. I feel like, okay, I want to say I don't remember. Okay, let me think. I think it was Wahida Clark, Every Thug Needs a Lady. I think so. Well, first of all, I read this book in like seventh grade.
Oh my.
I don't ask. I don't even know how I got my hands on this book. But I feel like one of my friends at the time, she had the book and she was like, oh my God, this book is so good. And I was like, okay, who is this? Like, and I started reading it and I was like, oh, this is amazing. You know what? Let's say eighth grade instead. Because maybe seventh grade was too far back in the day.
Look, that's not unusual. Most people, when they answer this question, they say, oh, I was 12, I was 13.
Yeah.
I was digging in my mama's, you know, books. I was digging through my grandma's Harlequins, so on and so forth, you know. So it's not unusual. Maybe 12, 13. 11, 12, 13, reading romance, you know. That's not unusual.
I definitely shouldn't be reading those. Wahida Clark or but you know what, it was a Wahida Clark book and I was like, oh, this is amazing. And you know, I didn't have the book, so I was relying on her to bring in the other books of that series, because I believe that's a 7-book series. It is very intensive. Like, it's like Every Thug Needs a Lady, Thugs and the Ladies They Love. Like, it was serious business. And I was like, oh yeah, I like this, and I need to read more.
So tell us about Brianna. Who is Brianna outside of being a romance writer? Who is Brianna before she became a romance writer?
Brianna before she became a romance writer was actually trying to be a professional dancer, like ballet, jazz, hip-hop. You know, I wanted to be one of Beyonce's backup dancers. I was pursuing that. I was teaching dance. I was the encourager. Like, I love mental health. So I was kind of into journaling and thinking about doing, like, trying to merge mental health and dance together. I was in college. It's kind of funny because I didn't really want to write, in a sense. Like, I was so focused, hyper fixated on being a professional dancer, and I was doing that from like the age of 10 all the way up until I think it was like 23, and I was like, yeah, we're gonna do this. And then the pandemic happened, and it kind of shifted a lot of things for me.
But you're still a very young woman with a lot of life ahead of you.
Thank you.
What, and that's a beautiful thing, as a lady, an old lady, you talking
Don't do that.
old lady, you talking to in her 40s.
My best friend is turning 40 this year, okay? And I'm not gonna let her call herself old, and I'm definitely not gonna let you call yourself old. No. You in your prime.
That's what they tell me. So when did you make the transition from being a romance fan, romance enthusiast, and decided, you know what, I'm gonna write romance? What was that spark, that impetus for you to just switch gears?
So I actually started on Wattpad back when I graduated from high school. This was in 2014, and I got introduced to Wattpad in 2012, and I was like, oh, like, for those who don't know, Wattpad is a or was an app for like amateur writers to go on, and you could, start your writing career on that. It's a great, beautiful community at the time. And I was like, you know what? I see all of these other beginners that are writing their books on there. Why can't I? So I think I started writing like a it was a YA book, and I was like, let me see, what this is about. And I started writing it, and I was getting a lot of good feedback from, the people on there, and I was like, okay, I'm like really, really enjoying this. But then it was also so that happened around that time. This was like 2013, and then a pandemic happened, and I started writing a story in college, which turned out to be my debut novel. But I started writing a story, and pandemic happened, and my mom was like, whatever happened to that story you started writing that you showed me all those years ago? And I was like, girl, I don't know. It's just, it's sitting somewhere on the dock. I forgot all about that story. She's like, no, tell your aunt about the story. And I was like, okay. So I sent it to my aunt. I ended up showing it to my two friends because I was like, okay, sure, let's pick this thing back up. And I got so much great feedback from, my aunt and a couple of my friends. And it was like, you should really try and write this. And I was like, okay, I don't know. And then my aunt was like, well, how about you, all of that passion that you have for dance and, the drive that you have, how about you pray that, you get the same drive for writing? And I was like, all right, cool. Classes are shut down. I've not enjoyed the virtual class thing. So I'm gonna give it a try. What else I got to do? So I did a lot of praying, and I was just like, well, let me just, pick these people back up and see what they're talking about. And here we are, what, 4 years later? Yeah, 4 years later with a whole new story. Crazy.
So tell us about the inspiration for Finding My Way Out of Darkness. You kind of pin this as kind of sold us at the comps, as they say, as like Criminal Minds meets romance, you know. So can you tell
Yes.
us a little bit about this story, the inspiration for this story, and how you kind of crafted it?
Okay. So I back in, this was like what, 20 between 2016 to like 2018, there were a lot of stories about Black girls going missing, and in my area also. And I was like, oh no, that could be me. And it was just like hurting my heart that, and not only, I feel like one thing when young Black girls go missing, or just Black women in general go missing, you hear about it on the news for like 2 or 3 days, and then if it even makes it to the news, and then it's pretty much over. Or you see a Facebook post about, a girl or a guy gone missing, and the next thing you hear about it, they are, no longer here with us. And it was really just breaking my heart. And I was like, well, What happens to the, like, are there any stories where these people get to, make it back home? And then we had Cynthia Brown, who, went to jail for, I was about to use TikTok slang, unaliving.
Yeah, you can say killed on a podcast,
Yeah.
girl. But it's cool.
For killing her, her abuser, and that went worldwide when all of the activists and Kim Kardashian, she came in
Yeah.
and did her thing, and I was like, wow, like this is crazy. And she got out of prison and ended up getting married and have, I believe she has a baby, and I'm like, wow, this story is really beautiful. And I'm like, I want to write a story like that about a girl who goes through so many things, and what does it look like for the police to be involved? What does it look like for the FBI, the government officials to actually care about us when we go missing? And who might read this story that may not have gotten a news coverage, but they did make it back home, that could encourage them to turn their life around and may not be always stuck in the trauma and the things that happened to them. So I kind of wanted to take a very like sad situation and give that person, whoever they may be, a happy ending.
So would you say like this story kind of blends genres? Like is it it's thriller, it's romance, it's women's fiction, it's a little bit of everything, you think?
I would definitely say there's, women's fiction. I would absolutely say there's romance, and I would say it's like an action romance. It's not really like thriller, but I would definitely say it's like it's a little bit of all three. And I think that with, first of all, it's so hard to just like be like, yeah, my book is just this one genre,
You're right.
and and just like the conversation behind like authors not really like promoting their books the right way, because I'm like, at the beginning and end of the day, it's a romance. Like romance is the big umbrella, and then we have all of those little tiny umbrellas that are just here. But I would definitely say that if you ask me, it's a little bit of everything.
So tell us about the two main characters in this story and essentially what the plot is about without giving too much away.
Okay, I think I've gotten it pretty down packed how to
Your
get my
elevator
synopsis
pitch.
out. Okay, so we have Mr. Brian McClane, who is a special ops agent for the FBI. He ends up getting assigned to a sex trafficking case in his city, which is Slatesville, New York. And he comes to find out that his best friend, Michaela Scott, is one of the victims that are stuck in a sex trafficking ring. So he's like, you know what? I remember her. I loved her. Michaela's the one that got away. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to do everything that I can in order to find Michaela. So they find each other. But the only thing is that Michaela has amnesia and she does not remember him, nor did this summer that they spent together. Many, many years ago.
I
So
love a
this
good amnesia
story,
plot, girl. Ooh.
I think I did a good job at it. Okay. So they then go on this journey of trying to, in the sex trafficking ring, trying to make sure Michaela doesn't get in trouble for actually, working with the FBI. And it's a lot of plot twists, a lot of things that they both didn't see coming that actually connects them more in a way, more way than they thought before. Well, than Brian actually initially thought. So it's so many outside pieces. It's like, oh, we're actually way more connected than we thought. And they get their happy ending. So yeah, that's a little pitch. There's definitely more to meet the eye to Michaela. She's an artiste. She likes art. She's just, a woman that is determined to not let her situation completely tear her apart. So she is striving and working through the trauma even before, Brian pops back up on the scene.
And so this book seems to deal with a lot of different elements that seem to require a lot of like heavy research about missing and exploited women, the FBI, how cases are run, so on and so forth. How much of the world building did you do before you started writing the story?
I want to say I did a lot of world building as I went along with the story. So I don't know anything about the FBI. I had to do a ton of research when it comes to that. I got in contact with a woman who lives in Hawaii, but she's a nurse, and for some reason, she has contact with a lot of women who were, previously sex trafficked. So she sent me a lot of research just on, general information and a little personal information. I did a ton of research just online about how many women go missing a year. What is the number with Black women? What are the different, are there different cities that it tends to happen more? What are the cases? Like, how often is the FBI actually shutting down, human trafficking, sex trafficking, and just kind of everything that I could find with that, with those topics without raising too many red flags
On the
on
internet,
Google.
right.
Because I don't think some people answer me, okay?
Before the
This is some
FBI be
research.
knocking at your door.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. So I would say I'm like a world builder as I go, because technically I rewrote this book. This book was not everything that it is today. So I would say that I had like the premise of I had Michaela's name, I had Brian's name, and him being the FBI was not even. That wasn't even his thing in the first version of the story. So I would say it took a lot, but I'm not the tight outline kind of author. I want to be, but it just, after a certain point, I'm like, okay, girl, we got to just start writing, because the planning, I can't plan that far ahead.
Yes, you more of a pantser than you are a plotter.
Yes, give me half, just put me right in the middle. Okay. I'm like right there. Like, I do a good portion of planning, and then I'm like, all right, just go
Just
ahead and
and it's like planning and then vibes. Like you plan a little bit then
absolutely.
vibes.
Absolutely. That's me.
Yeah. So you said you had to rewrite a lot of this. How did you get started with rewriting it? Like, what were the parts of the story that you were just like, okay, this just isn't gonna work anymore?
So originally, the story was Michaela was still, in sex traffic, or being sex trafficked. But it was more so under the lenses of just prostitution. So it wasn't fully like I didn't really dive into like sex trafficking, even though that's what it was. But I just feel like the Brianna that I was in 2016 didn't put, two and two together and realize that in her case, because she didn't want to be there, that this is what it was. And Brian was, he was just a powerful man with money, who used to be about that, drug slinging life, and he changed it around. So this actually was an urban fiction novel at the time. So I would say a good 80% of the story was rewritten. And I wanted the book to be able to, because let's just call a spade, the urban fiction books are not getting the coverage that they need, not getting the accolades, that everything that it deserves. And I'm
Absolutely.
like, in order for my story to reach the people that I want it to reach, which is, people of all colors and ages and, all that jazz, I need to step over into contemporary romance. So I
Ooh.
had to like really switch gears. But
Mm-hmm.
also, it wasn't that long. Like I think I had about 40,000 words the first draft, and the now it's like 85,000. So I'm like, I think I probably used a good maybe like 5,000 words from the old.
Wow. Wow, that's
Yeah.
a
You know
total
what?
rewrite.
It's a total rewrite. Like and I just like first I was just gonna go in because it was from Michaela's point of view, the entire book except for the epilogue. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll just go in and add a few chapters from Brian's point of view, you know, just to like let the people know. Because at the time when I was reading, I was mostly reading books with just the female POV. So I was like, oh, cool, you know, that's what they do. That's what I'm gonna do. You know, I don't know anything about writing a book. We're just going off the vibes. So then I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna just add a few chapters about Brian's point of view and it'll be fine. I'll slap a new cover on and that's it. And then I was writing and I was like, oh wait, but like, can we make this book more like can we be a little more intentional behind the writing? Like I think that for me, I'm a person who always like I would describe myself to be very passionate. Okay, I'm passionate about a lot of things and I'm just like, you know what? Let's really take this story a step farther and see every which way that it can go. And, you know, just talk about that. Like, I got one idea and then the next idea. And then we just, bam, like it just turned into this whole other thing that I never expected it to turn into. And I was like, okay, well, I like this a lot. Like, this is just going to be like a two book series. I was one of the girlies who ended it off on a cliffhanger, you know, and then waited, and then was gonna wait 2 years to come back with book two. And yeah, like, so sorry to all my, and I say this every time because I'm like, sorry to anybody who read that first version of the story, and not because it wasn't great, because it was good for what it was, but it's not even the same story anymore. It's just, it's not, and I'm sorry that I left y'all like that on the cliffhanger. But read the new version, it's fine, it's great, it's amazing.
So let's talk about publishing itself.
Okay.
And you've chosen to write as an indie author, being self-published. What made you go that route versus maybe a traditional publishing route?
Well, you know what? And when I was in college, I went to college for English and creative writing, and I was just like, there's no way that any publishing company, to my knowledge, is going to publish my book when I want it to and how I want it. There just was not a wide range of Black romance books out there. Anytime I went to Barnes Noble or Walmart, you know, whatever Target, whatever stores got books, you know, our section was so tiny and everybody else's section was just like, you know, just rows and rows and rows of books. And I was just like, this is not like, if I don't do it my way, and I'm a control freak. So I'm like, okay, I need to be in charge of the cover. I need to be in charge of what goes inside. I need to be able to have creative freedom to do everything that I want to do. And I'm like, that's just simply, or at the time, I didn't believe that that was simply work. So I was just like, you know, if I want it done, I got to do it myself. So I was like, I'm going to be an indie author. Again, I didn't know really about the indie author world at that time. So I was kind of just, you know, drawing inspiration behind, you know, whatever traditionally published books that I was reading at the time. So I kind of just went into everything just like not knowing anything about it, but how to craft a story. And I was just like, all right, we're just gonna figure it out. We're gonna watch a bunch of YouTube videos and we're gonna do it. We're gonna do it. Yeah.
So since that, I mean, I know you're also really active on social media and stuff, and a you know, and very involved in the author community and things like that. So since publishing that book, have you gained community? Have you gained mentorship? Have you gained like a community of other writers to like kind of guide you through this sort of debut author landscape of, you know, what you're going to do as far as, you know, your career trajectory is concerned?
Yes. So I really, when I decided to rewrite the book, I was like, you know what? We're not going to do this alone. Like, of course, I have my own personal community, but I'm like, how can I get into community online? So I went on TikTok and I typed in book talk, and then I typed in Black book talk. And I was like, oh, there's a whole world of people over here of authors. I found you on Black Book Talk. I found other authors like, you know, A. Valdez and J.L. Seegers. And I was like, oh, here are just a where was I at? Like, where was this? Why did I know about this community at the time? So I went on and I started, you know, engaging and reading the books and just being involved in the community and really being so blessed with the BookTok community and the Bookstagram community, that really encouraged me to, when I said that I was going to rewrite my book, and I was like, I don't know if you guys would like it, but I'm going to rewrite the book, and really got so much encouragement, which I know that had I not really dived into, you know, just because I'm a big community person in real life. So I'm like, I like having friends. Like, I'm not a loner. I like hanging out. I like having a good time. And I was like, how can I translate my personality from in person to online? So I just went on and was being authentic and vibing with with the vibes. And I'm like, oh, like, it's amazing over here. So like, what you see online, it's pretty much how I am in real life. Like, me making my little TikToks and I'm dancing and I'm vibing out is what I do around the house, you know, laughing and kikiing in the comments is what I do in real life. Like, there's this, I don't really have an online persona. This is what you see is what you get. And I did a lot of like, I prayed a lot about community because I'm like, you know, it's very lonely to do it by yourself. Especially, you know, when you have people around you who want to help and, you know, and they're in your corner, but they don't know anything about this life. So it's just like, you know, I can only understand and empathize with you so much. So I'm like, all right, you know, show me the people who are authentic, the people that I should be in community with versus the people that I may not necessarily need to be, you know, as close with. Because, you know, again, everybody has different vibes and different, you know, different opinions. And you do have to be, or I believe that you have to be careful in who you choose to let into, you know, your inner circle and the very early drafts of your books. Like, who are going to be the people that are going to, you know, encourage you. And encourage you to keep writing, or you might get in community with somebody who says something that really, you know, could deter you from writing, especially like when you're in that vulnerable stage, like in the beginning, or like in the beginning of a new draft, you're like, oh, I'm not really sure about this. And depending on who you expose yourself to so early on, it's like it could be the make or break of, you know, your next book. So I definitely am very blessed to have the community that I have. We're in community, which I love this for us. And you listen, I'm here for, I love authentic people, and your personality and just your light definitely translate from online to, you know, what it needs to. Yeah, like, I just feel like people just, I don't know, like, I expect people to act how I act, which is to be authentic and to be honest and real. And it's like, you can tell when people are and you can tell when people aren't. And I'm just a person, like, if I feel like I like your personality and yeah, then I'm rocking with you and I'm vibing with you. But if it's like, I can't really get a good, you know,
Read off of
reading
you.
going, I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm a person who I don't separate the art from the artist. Like,
And you
you
can't separate the
can't.
art from the artist, because if somebody's inauthentic personality wise, It is going to show in the art that they produce. It's going to be the most vapid, shallow crap that you are ever going to read. And
Absolutely.
if somebody is authentic and engaging and in community, why do you think people love Kennedy Ryan so much? She's engaging. She's an author who's engaging. She's in community. Why do you think people love Tia Williams? They're engaging. They're authentic. These are people who, when you meet them in person, they hug you. They say, "Oh my God, I see you online," or da 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 da.
Had a
You
nice
know?
chit chat with Kennedy, okay? I was like, oh my God.
Okay.
Hey, girl.
Okay. You know, remember small things about you and, you know, never met, you know, may have met you once or twice. I have, you know, have met you in person as well. And I'm like, oh my gosh, she's so sweet and, you know, bubbly and things like that, you know, and you know, it really does shine through, you know, personality wise. And when someone is authentic, it makes particularly other writers want to support you and encourage you and be there for you in any type of way possible along your journey in writing. That being said, what does the writing process look like for you? Like, what is a typical writing process is for you? Because, like you said, it's long and it's solitary. And then when you get stuck in the weeds, what happens? What do you do? You know, what does a typical writing process day look like for Brianna Michelle?
Okay. I would say a typical writing process for me is making sure that I'm fed or that I have a snack nearby. Making sure that I have enough sleep. I'm a person that when I'm tired, my brain just don't function. I can't. Once my eyes start burning, which is an indication that I need to go to bed, I can't. So those are the two things that need to be done. I need some kind of background noise, so some music. If I'm writing a really good scene, music will work, depending on if I'm writing a spicy scene or not. You know, let's get all the way into the vibe. If I'm writing something, you know, dramatic and heartbreaking, give me a sad song so I can really just immerse myself into, you know, my character's thoughts and feelings. I tend to stop at the middle of the scene. So I got this tip from somebody, I don't know who it was, but they was like, when you're writing, you should stop in the middle of the scene. So that way, when you go back to, you know, your manuscript, you can just hop back into it. It's not, you know, you don't have to start over. I think that I spend a lot of time writing. I work full time. I'm a nanny, so I tend to get up at 5. And look, I would love to not get up at 5. So this is not me being an advocate for waking up at 5 a.m. and getting your life together. Because it's not. I don't want to get up at 5, but it's just not my life. So I get up and I get my life together. I go drive to my job. Usually 10 to like 45 to an hour before I have to clock in, and I got my iPad and my little keyboard, and I'm writing. I'm working on my manuscript. When that baby goes to sleep, I'm working on that manuscript again for a good like almost 2 hours. And then when I get home, if I got any more juice left in me, I can maybe dedicate like a good hour or two to a manuscript. But I think that I like what I'm writing. I'm very excited about my project. So that, you know, that motivation and drive to really tell the story is there. So it's not like I gotta force myself to do it. Like, I like writing. I like creating. I'm just a creative being. I'm not really like the author who gets like writer's block unless, you know, that not being a full outliner comes into play, and it's like, okay, we hit all the plot points that we wrote out. So where do we go? Where do we go next? Like, I'm a person, I have like a beginning and an end, and I'm like, okay, now how can I connect the dots to get to where we need to go? And for the most part, I'm like, my plot points are like they're, you know, spattered out throughout the beginning and the end. And I'm like, okay, just how can we get there? So then I go back into my research and, you know, figuring out what do I need to, you know, what do I need to say? How are these characters? For some reason, I'm obsessed with second chance romance. So, like all of my books have second chance romance so far. Knowing that I would never give a man a second chance in real life, but we're second chance romance through and through. So I'm like, okay, what about these characters? What about their story? What about their past? Haven't I told yet? So I kind of just think about all of the things, and I wish I could turn my brain off sometimes because it's a lot. But yeah.
Well, you're crafting the stories. What are like the easiest things for you to write, and what are some of the hardest things for you to write?
I think the easiest things for me to write are the cute scenes between the characters, the female main character, male main character. So like if they're going on a date or they're spending some quality time together, the scenes that make you say, "Oh, they're so cute, I love them together, blah blah blah." The hard scenes are writing the sex scenes. They are a little difficult because I'm like, okay, let's not be repetitive.
Right,
Like,
it's
can we
hard,
switch the positions up? Did they do the same positions the first time? I'm like, how many times can you say, like, oh my God, this is so good, you feel amazing? Like, I'm like, all right, like,
There are different ways to say
okay,
it.
I'm pulling up the synonyms on Google. Okay,
This,
I'm
yes.
doing what needs to be done.
Yes.
And I think well, right now I'm working on a romantic thriller. So the thriller aspect has been difficult for me because this is my first time, playing in that park. My first time doing it. So I'm like, okay, this is a little difficult.
Okay. So we had the debut, Finding My Way Out of Darkness. What have you learned since publishing your first book? What have you learned? What lessons have you learned? Valuable lessons have you learned since publishing your first book?
I have learned to trust my voice as an author. I feel like, excuse me, I spent a lot of time like overthinking it, having anxiety, like being worried that people were gonna like it, being obsessed with I and especially going from like having a book that I didn't know how to market the first time around and really didn't have the community, backing to doing it all over again and discovering that, you just gotta do it. Like I don't know how I can't be stressed over how people are gonna react to something when you haven't even given people a chance to react. But then I also had to remind myself, like, this is my art. This is the project that I believed in. This is the story that I wanted to tell. And I don't need to be worried about, I really don't need to be worried about other people's opinions. In a sense that, like, some people are gonna like it, some people are gonna hate it. And the people that hate it, their opinion, isn't necessarily right or wrong. It's just different from what I thought of my own story. I think that I was so like stuck in that, oh, well, like, what if I get a negative review? Da, 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 da. And I just like, just don't look at the reviews. Just mind your business. Like, just, you don't even need to go over there. Like, if you're gonna go over there, you're gonna be in your bag, you're gonna be sad, upset about it, then mind your business. Now, the book has been out, what, 4 months? November been 4 months, whatever. We got some reviews over there. And I was like, hey, thank you for reading anyway. Okay. So I think I just like needed to get over that stress behind me be worried about other people's opinion and what other people thought. Like, obviously it is, this is a business, so I want people to like the product. But I think that, with any good product, it's not about the people who didn't like it, but it's about finding the people who your product is for. And it has
Absolutely.
taken me a lot of time to find, or a lot of mental time to realize that and be like, you know what? You just have to find your readers have to find you, and you have to realize how to market your book. You got to know what to say, what is going to make people want to read this book, what is going to catch people's attention when they see your video, when you talk to them in person. This whole Inspired by Criminal Minds things, the girlies are eating it up, okay, in online and in real life, okay. So I'm like, you know what? We found our little niche, you know. I think that I've learned a lot about marketing, and I've learned to stop overthinking marketing, because that was another thing that I was just like, oh my God, what do I say? What do I do? Girl, you don't tell people in 20 words or less what your book is about and keep it pushing. Like, everything is fine. Everything is fine. That's like my mantra for when I feel like things in my life are out of control. Everything is fine until it's not. And even when it's not, it's going to be fine. Like, you know, we just gotta get there.
Absolutely. I think you have gained so much wisdom in this first year of you
Thank
being
you.
published, because I mean, these are some lessons that people don't learn until they're deeper into the game, you know what I mean? Especially about reading those reviews. I definitely don't read reviews. I don't review. I've never read reviews from jump, so I don't read reviews. Even when people tag me on a negative review, which I don't know why they do that, but
I don't know why people do that
I
either.
don't know why people do that. Do not tag authors on negative reviews. You're gonna be negative. We don't want to see it. It hurts our spirits. It hurts our writing mojo. We
Absolutely.
don't want to see it. And this isn't to say you're not entitled to your opinion, but you don't have to tag us in
Yeah, no,
that either.
that's like you beating me up and jumping me in the and expecting me not to fight back. Like, what?
Exactly. So let's talk what's next for you. So we got this book out. You have a novella that's out too. Remember Us This Christmas. What inspired that book, and what made you want to delve into like a little holiday book?
So I was like, okay, as you can tell, I'm very long-winded. Okay, I can keep talking. So I was like,
Ain't nothing wrong with
can I actually write a novella? So like, it was just like a little mini challenge to myself.
that.
I'd had a lot of great things happen last year, but also a lot of trying things happening in my personal life, and I was in a state of grief during the time. Like after I published Find My Way Out of Darkness, which came out in November, and then when I published wrote and published the Christmas book, because I pretty much started writing it. I wrote it in about like, I don't know, like 4 weeks, whatever. Thank you. You know, I didn't expect me to do it. I was just talking to my therapist, and I was just like, I don't know, I want to see if I can do it. Like, I won't say anything to anybody about it, just in case, you know, I don't actually finish it. Like, it'll just be like a small little something for me. And I was just like, I wanted to tell a story about grief. And I'm like, I guess that's kind of like the thought process that I have when I go into a project. Like, what message do I want to talk about, and how can we, you know, have it come across in a good way? So I wanted to talk about grief and how grief hits all of us, and you know, something we all can relate to, and but how we all respond to grief is differently. And I feel like, you know, grief can make or break a person, and I wanted to pretty much discuss what happens when you lose that person or the people in your life that really mean so much to you. What kind of happens to you? Because I think that we are all always thinking about, you know, what we lose in a person and who they meant to us, but we don't really think about what we lose within ourselves. And I wanted to discuss how much we lose ourselves. And so we have Kristen Tillman, who's the female main character, and she lost her twin sister. And from losing her twin sister, she then, you know, lost her friends and lost her husband, kind of just, you know, shutting herself out from the world because, you know, she was stuck in that state of grief. And the story kind of picks up 2 years later, and she's trying to pick up the pieces of her life again. I think that, you know, sometimes when people shut others out due to grief, they kind of feel like, oh, I can't make amends with the people that I walked away from. And I kind of wanted to tell the story of you can make amends, but it, depends on how you go about it. So I kind of like was grieving, I lost a friendship at the time, and I was like, you know what? I wanna kind of tackle this in the lenses of, grief and also from the perspective of said friend. So I'm like, you know what? Let me kind of just, dabble in that and see what I get. And I again, I'm obsessed with second chance romance. I was like, okay, let's dabble in like a married couple. This is, divorced couple. And I'm like, all right, let's see what we get. And I kind of wanted to talk about mental health. So there are some mental health aspects. I'm not really too big on second chance romance due to infidelity. So none of them have that infidelity trope, but I kind of want to just like, talk about some mental health issues, mental health disorders, and and grief, and kind of just like see what I write. I don't want to say too much just in case somebody
Oh
hasn't read
no,
it yet.
we're gonna give it away. We're gonna give it away.
Okay. But yeah, that's kind of
Plus
what
wrapped
that
up in
inspired.
a little Christmas theme as
Because
well.
we love Christmas time. I love Hallmark. So I was like, okay, let's take Hallmark, grief, and mental health and slap it in the book and see what we get.
And make it black.
And absolutely. Here, girl, what is it? Hallmark mahogany.
Yeah, mahogany. Just making it extra mahogany. All right, so we're winding down to the last part of the interview, and we're gonna do a little rapid fire segment where I ask you some question. You give me the answer that pops to the top of your head first thing. So, your favorite book as a kid?
Juno B. Jones
Ah!
with whichever books from
Oh,
her.
I definitely know you young. You said Junior B. Jones. my daughter reads Junior B. Jones.
Love her.
Do you like writing heroes or villains?
Heroes.
And we talked a little bit about this. Love scenes. Do you like writing love scenes or dramatic arguments?
Dramatic arguments. Give me all the emotions.
your favorite place to write?
At home in my desk, I feel official there.
Okay. We already talked about this one. Book reviews to read or not read.
Even though we talked about it, I kind
Backslide.
I'm gonna say read, because I'm at a point where I'm not letting the negative ones affect me, and I
Okay.
really appreciate what my readers gotta say.
The last romance novel that you read.
What did I just read? The Neighbor Favor by is it
Christina
Katina
Forrest.
Forrest?
Christina Forrest. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep, The Neighbor Favor. That was so good.
Yeah. Does music help you write? If so, do you have a playlist that you go to?
Music does help me write. I don't have a playlist. I just go off of my shuffle on Apple Music.
A favorite or frequent word that you use in your writing?
Frequent what?
Word that you use in your writing.
Definitely.
Definitely. Okay. If your book became a movie, who would you want to play the lead?
Okay. I would want, what is that five man name? Kofi? What's his
Oh,
last
yes,
name?
Kofi Cyril Bowen.
He needs to play Brian. And for Michaela, Ryan Destiny.
Okay. That's a nice look. That's a nice little look.
I'm like, they're attractive together.
Okay, that's nice. Where do you see romance novels going in like the next decade?
I see romance novels being uplifted way more. I feel like romance just doesn't get the accolades that, it deserves. I think that romance novels are going to be praised. They're going to be taking up most of the shelf stores. And that romance novels are going to be adapted into way more movies. We need more romance movies
Yes, absolutely.
and TV
Absolutely.
shows.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, and when it's all said and done, and you've written 50 more books and had Finding My Way Out of Darkness option for a lifetime movie, what do you want readers to say about the body of work that you produce or the books that you write?
What do I want people to say about it? I want people to say that my stories changed the way that they view the world and that it healed a tiny piece of their heart.
Beautiful, beautiful,
Thank
beautiful.
you.
Okay, Brianna Michelle from Philly, what is next for you as a writer? What is next? I know we have a follow-up to Finding My Way Out of Darkness and Finding Our Way to Love. Can you tell us a little bit about that? And what else is coming up on the horizon for you?
So we have Find My Way to You, which is the official book two and the okay, so Finding Our Way in Love is like a short story about Brian and Michaela. So Finding My Way to You is about the next couple and from the Finding My Way series. I'm also working on another project that is in a different genre that I'm excited about. And I am doing some really big things this I'm hoping to accomplish some big things in the literary world that I'm excited about. So, yeah.
Okay. No hints on what that is yet, just yet.
You think I should give a hint?
I don't know. It's up to you, John. If you want to be a Romance and Color exclusive, you can, but it's up to you, girl. Just want
Okay, okay.
if
We
you want
let's
the
do
people
it
to
'cause
see, if you want the people just to wait and see, that's cool too.
let me think. We're gonna show the people better than we can tell them.
All right now. All right.
But you know what? When it's said and done, we can come if you want. We could come back after
Okay.
and do another episode.
Okay. I'm gonna hold you. I'm gonna hold you to it. I'm gonna hold you to it.
Okay.
Okay, so where can we find you on social media? Where can we get purchase your books? And where can we see you if you're gonna have any events coming up?
Okay, so you guys can find me on Instagram at authoress Brianna Michelle. That is, you want me to spell it out?
Sure.
Okay, that is AUTHORESS BRIYANNAMICHELE. That's on Instagram. You can find me on TikTok at author Brianna Michelle. I'm on Threads, which is connected to Instagram, so that don't even matter. I'm on YouTube at Brianna Michelle. I am, you can purchase my books on my website at www.briannamichelle.com. I also am going to be at a lot of events this year, actually. So I am going to be at the Boozy Book Tour at the Houston stop. In what is that? December. I'm going to
Okay.
be at the Urban Book Expo in Chicago in September. I have a few local events in Philly. I actually have one this month. It is on the 19th. It is called the Philly Night Market. And I'm going to be at a Juneteenth festival in Woodbury, New Jersey. This is what day is that? I think that's like June, that second week in June. And I'm gonna be in Jersey for from the what is that? From June 8th, that second Saturday in June. I mean in June from June All the way up until October at their farmers market event. I'm really big on like doing vendor events.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, in the local area. So, and so many, a lot of people don't really do that. A lot of other authors don't really do them. So, I'm kind of like the only author there, which works a lot in my favor.
That's actually really smart marketing. Really
Yeah, thank
smart
you.
marketing. Very smart marketing. You got the marketing down pat, girl. I don't think you're gonna have no
Thanks.
problem selling no books and selling out when you go to these events. I think you got that
Okay.
down pat. You
Thank
got
you
that
so
down
much.
pat. Yes. And I
Thank
wish you
you.
so much success. The book was excellent, Finding My Way Out of Darkness.
Thank you so
Can't wait to
much.
see what you come up with next within the romantic thriller genre. And any other projects you have, Brianna, I'm so glad we are in community. I'm glad that you came on the podcast, and I wish you so much success, and I know you're gonna do amazing things in romance landia.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
You are
Thank you for
so
having me. This was fun. This is my favorite thing to do, talk and laugh, talk
welcome.
about books, talk about romance. Thank
Yes.
you.
Yes, thank you for having coming on. Hi, everyone. I hope you enjoyed that episode and interview with author Brianna Michelle. If you want more information about Brianna Michelle, her books, links to her social media, any events that she'll be participating in, visit her website, briannamichelle.com. We're going to put links and information in the description of this podcast. I am Tati Richardson, one half of the duo here at Romance and Color, your resident romance writer and reader. And we will see you next time, April 19th, here at Romance and Color, where we'll have an interview with author Rhonda McKnight. In the meantime, you all take care, be safe, and God bless. And as always, free Palestine.